Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are here to offer gratitude to the giver of all good gifts. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently. We want to offer a special welcome to you. And those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for faces we don't know so that we can extend a hand of fellowship to you and to express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. Now, there are many ways to do that, and the most important of those is to become involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look in your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of opportunities for that. I'm going to lift up just a few here. First of all, some quick reports from our mission partners that have been affected by the recent hurricane. We heard from the Bahama Methodist Habitat that Eleuthera was not one of the hardest hit places in the Bahamas. And so some of those photographs you may have seen from Nassau and other places, it was not affected as severely in Eleuthera, where our mission work is. Also, in Haiti, we got word from the hospital in Pinon, because of where they are, the hospital was not damaged. The difficulty they're having is that with the damage to roads and transportation, it's hard to get medicines and supplies in and out. So please keep all of those folks, as well as all the folks up and down the Atlantic coast who are still experiencing the effects of this storm in your prayers, and we will remember them in prayer time as well a little bit later on. Another reminder, we still have a few slots in Room in the Inn. Someone will be out in Reed Hall after this service. If you would like to sign up to cook a meal, to stay overnight, to help serve the meal, or we especially need people who would qualify to be van drivers. You don't have to have a special license. It's a very easy process. So if you have any interest in the possibility of being a van driver for Room in the Inn or some of our other ministries, please contact Lisa Guak and let her know that. Also, on Wednesday, October 19th, the Nashville Concerto Orchestra will be playing a special noonday concert here right at noon here in the sanctuary, Wednesday the 19th. Put it on your calendar. I know you'll want to be here. A new class called Starting Point started this morning. You can join it next week if you want to. It's a way for you to plug in more deeply into West End and find your niche and place of ministry. It meets in Chris Allen's office, which is room 301. And we're very fortunate today to have a guest from one of our mission partners, Jeff Hassel, the executive director of ODIHM, the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya People in Guatemala, is here with us. We have been involved with this ministry for several years. We send mission teams down. A number of you have taken part in that, I know. I want to let you know that there is cover dish dinner this evening at 5 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. The barbecue will be provided, but you're just asked to bring a side dish. It's for those who have been to Guatemala or those who might be interested in going. So I hope you'll take advantage of meeting Jeff, learning more about the program, and exploring your own calling in ministry. I'm going to invite Jeff up here to say a few words. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael. I would like for you to try to imagine that I am not up here all alone, that there are 42 other people with me, because that's the number of people that work for ODIHM Guatemala in these two little towns on Lake Atitlan. And I want to introduce you to two people. This person right here is Melina. She's 21 years old. She's part of our staff, and she is in charge of our diabetes program and student scholarship programs. She manages budgets of about $30,000. She works with 15 different people who work under her. And remember, she's 21 years old. She also goes to school on weekends at the local university. This person over here is Josefa. Josefa is a nurse with us, and she graduated from nursing school not 2 months ago. She invited me to go, and as I watched her receive her diploma, I was as proud as a papa as she walked across that stage and grabbed her diploma, because our organization helped sponsor her with education so she could meet the challenges of the day and graduate. And on behalf of Melina, Josefa, and the other 40 people that work with ODIHM Guatemala, I want to say it's actually two words. Thank you very much for your support and your partnership, and I look forward to your team coming down in several months. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. You're here. You may have experienced this too, but when I grew up, my mother drilled me on the proper responses when you were speaking to people, especially those who were older than you. Right? If the answer you were giving was yes, it was not just yes, it was yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. If the answer happened to be no, and that was okay, but it wasn't just no, it was no, ma'am, and no, sir. When you ask for something, you always attached please to it, and if you received something, whether you asked for it or not, you always said thank you. You knew the answer to that, didn't you? We're going to explore a story about Jesus encountering a group of folks, at least one of whom got the idea that thank you can be a lifestyle. Stick around. Come on with me, Jeff.
Worship the Lord in power. The longer days are shortening, calling us to pay attention. As we notice creation's changes, we come mindful that God calls us into community and service.
We come as faithful followers, hungry for God's presence in our lives.
In worship, let us be full. Jesus loves us and frees us from our sins. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God together. God of grace, we do not always live as your word teaches us. There are times when we fail to express gratitude for the many blessings we enjoy, but we are rarely slow to complain. We do not always bless one another. We do not always let love spark our faith to pray for those in need. And sometimes we withhold the words and actions that could encourage one of your children to believe in you and in their own ability to make a difference in the world. We ask for forgiveness. Change us and change this world we live in, so that together we might be a song of praise to bless you and to bless this world you love. God loves you. God accepts you. God forgives you. Go out to live each day as a strong and faithful response. Your worship matters. Your prayer matters. Your faithful service matters. You matter to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if other youngsters would care to come and join us, you're welcome to do so. If you'd like to bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, that's perfectly all right. Good morning. Good morning, guys. Good to see you. Well, today we're going to talk about something that I'm sure you have already been taught, and that is to say thank you. Whenever somebody does something nice for you or when they give you something, in the first service, I got to thank my daughter Sarah because she sings in the choir in the first service because she brought this stole from Guatemala. Some of you may have been here when Jeff Hassel spoke about our mission down there. Well, she brought this from Guatemala and gave it to me. And, of course, I said thank you when she first brought it to me. But this allowed me to say thank you and embarrass her in front of all these people. You just heard Pastor Becky read a story about Jesus and 10 people who came to him who had a disease. And because of this disease, they had to live either by themselves or only with other people who had the disease. It was called leprosy. In fact, any time that people had skin problems, they had to live apart. And if anybody came close to them, they were supposed to shout, "Unclean, unclean," to keep them from coming too close, because people thought that you could catch it, that you could catch this disease. Well, Jesus sees 10 of these folks. And it's interesting. What he says to them is, "Go to the priest." That seems kind of funny. But what he meant was, if you go to the priest can say, "You're cured. You don't have this disease anymore." And along the way, as they went, sure enough, their skin healed up. Well, one of them, instead of going all the way to the priest, when he saw what was happening, turned back and started thanking God, praising God for being rid of this terrible disease, and went back to find Jesus. And he threw himself on the ground and thanked Jesus for curing him, for helping him. And Jesus said, "Wait, weren't there 10? How come only one came back?" Well, that's the question. Do we want to be one of the 9 who receive the gift but don't say thank you? Or do we want to be the one who comes back to say thank you? You want to be the one. See, the thing is, you're here. You already are the one. You've come to church to say thank you to God for all those gifts. So you are already the person who came back to say thanks. I'm going to tell some more stories about how we give thanks. And I hope you can connect it to this story and to you when you get to say thank you to your mom or your dad or even your brother or sister when they do something nice for you, right? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us so many gifts. And thank you for giving us in our hearts the chance and the ability to say thank you to those through whom you share those gifts. Especially we thank you for the gift of your love in Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Some of you get here in time to hear this, and some of you don't, so I'm going to describe what happens for those of you who might not arrive in time to hear it. Before the opening voluntary, whoever is preaching that day, it's usually me, but whoever's preaching that day will come out and they will simply speak a word. Not just one word, but a sentence or maybe two to kind of shush people before the voluntary. I mean, it has a practical role as well. But I know when I do that, it's always something like, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and give thanks in it." Give thanks. Or, "This day is a gift from God. We come to thank the giver." It's always about gratitude. We begin every single Sunday expressing our gratitude to God. I don't do this every Sunday, but fairly frequently I try to remind the choir that I worship when they sing. If you didn't worship during that anthem, you better check your pulse. Seriously. That's when I get to worship up here. That's a gift to me. And it's important for me, at least occasionally, to say thank you for that. In the story that you just heard Becky read, Jesus encounters 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was a broad term in those days. It covered what we think of as leprosy, but it also covered a lot of different skin ailments. And so there were a number of people who were isolated, lonely, who always, if anyone approached them to shake their hand or give them a hug, had to refuse. Unclean. It wasn't just a refusal. It was a definition of who they were. Unclean. So Jesus comes along the way. They know his name. Now, I don't know if his disciples perhaps went ahead of him and said, "Hey, get out of the way. Keep your distance. Our master, Jesus, is coming along." Or if they had heard of him through some other means. But they call out to him at a distance. Of course they're going to keep their distance. They have to. They call out at a distance, "Jesus, Master." It's the only time anybody calls Jesus Master other than his disciples in the Gospel of Luke. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, usually, that phrase, "have mercy on me" or "have mercy on us," was asking for alms, was asking for financial help. But in this case, "have mercy on us" was a plea for healing. And Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, you're healed." He doesn't at this point say, "Your faith has made you whole." He says something very strange. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Well, they still have leprosy. If they go and show themselves to the priest, they will be refused. They won't be allowed to get near. But they do what he says. And along the way, they are healed. It's a process. As they follow Jesus' instruction and do what they've been asked to do, along the way, bit by bit, their skin clears. Now, we don't know what happened tonight of those folks. They disappear into history. My guess is they went to the priest. The priest looked at them. Their skin was clean. They got a certification of being cured. No longer did they have to be isolated. No longer did they have to be lonely. They could live the ordinary life that every other human being takes for granted. But one never made it to the priest. When he saw what was happening, he turned around and began to praise God, went back and found Jesus, prostrated himself, which means he threw himself face forward on the ground, stretched out in front of Jesus as an act of humility in order to honor Jesus, and told him, "Thank you." And Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, you're welcome." He says, "Weren't there 10? Where are the others?" Well, the one doesn't know the answer to that question. He couldn't choose for them. But he knew that what Jesus said was true. There had been 10. 9 had gone. 1 had come back to say a simple thank you. Now, Jesus doesn't take the healing away from the 9. Everybody gets blessed, whether they come back and say thank you or not. It's kind of like us, isn't it? We all have the blessings of this world, surrounded by the beauty of this world. And a few of us come and we say thank you. The church still does that. We welcome everyone. You can come and continue to come if you never give a nickel, if you never volunteer for a job, if you never serve on a committee. You can continue to come. The blessings still flow. But then there are some folks who will come back to say thank you. Folks like you. You're here this morning. You are the one. You wouldn't be here if you weren't the one. You are here because somehow you have received a blessing from God, a gift from God, and you have appreciated that gift, and you want to come back and offer thanks, just to say thank you. Now, it's easy to worry about the other 9. you know, their gifts. Because God doesn't take their gifts away from them. But we can't make decisions for them. We can only make decisions for us. And we have decided today to come and offer thanks to be the one. And we offer thanks in lots of ways. One is just showing up. Over 90% of any job is just showing up. Showing up for choir practice. Showing up for worship. Showing up to rehearse the organ. Showing up for Sunday school class. Showing up for Wednesday nights. Showing up for committee meetings. Showing up for mission trips. Just showing up is a big part of it. It is saying thank you in a big way. And you showed up. You are the one. We offer our gifts. Some of us are able to offer larger gifts than others. Some of us have more time, less money, but we can offer that time. Some of us have more money than time, we can offer that money. Some of us have special skills and knowledge, we can offer those skills, we can offer that knowledge. I know the announcements get a little boring sometimes, and I think you probably just tune out whenever I start. But you think about all those opportunities are opportunities to say thank you. All I'm really doing in offering those announcements is asking you, you want to say thank you in this way or that way or this way or that way. You want to say thank you by volunteering a room in the inn or driving, learning to drive the bus. You want to say thank you by hearing about a Guatemala mission trip and maybe even going one day. You want to say thank you by simply attending a class that will help you get more deeply involved in this congregation. How you want to say thank you today? That's part of it. We offer our gifts. One of the hardest parts of ministry is begging people to do what they know and you know they need to do anyway. Like come to worship. I spent so much time worrying about the nine, you know. We're supposed to be up here doing something sensational, something flashy, something really good, you know, that will compete with television. But much of what we do is not flashy. It's not sensational. It's hard work, and it's dirty work, and it's God's work. And we're inviting you into that. Or trying to ask people to give money. I did not sign up to be a development director. And yet that's what I've done for decades now in churches, is essentially, with the help of many other people, helped raise budgets year after year after year after year. Every year here, you hear me talk about money. A couple of years ago when we had the legacy campaign, I bet you got so tired of hearing me talk about money. I got tired of hearing me talk about money. And yet, look what we have. A torn up church. So we can make it beautiful again. So we can make it a safe place and a beautiful place and a comfortable place to come, not to stay here, but so we can encounter the living God and say thank you by going out into the world and doing the things that offer our gratitude to God. This beautiful, wonderful place is not just here for our comfort. It is here for our empowerment to go forth and offer our gratitude. This year, I'm not going to talk about money a whole lot. We have worked with a system of faithful giving for several years, and that system has kind of gotten tired, okay? So mostly you're just going to hear from me in a few letters, a few announcements. For those of you who already pledge, I'm going to be writing you to thank you for offering your thanks in that way. to encourage you to continue doing that, and if you can, to increase it, 3%, 5%, 10%. Some of you have already done that last year, and that's great. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who give and don't pledge, I'm going to be writing to say, think about estimating what you might give next year. That's really what a pledge is. It's simply an estimate of your giving. It helps us to plan. It helps us to know what we will and won't be able to do in the coming year. Won't you give us that help as part of your thank you? And for everyone else, if you don't give regularly or you don't pledge, continue to offer your thanks. Continue to find ways to be involved. And it might be money, or it might be time, or it might simply be learning how to share your gifts out there. Because everything we do can be a part of a lifestyle of thank you, a lifestyle of gratitude. I can't beg the nine, okay? But you're not the nine. You're the one. You've already come to say thank you. And I can offer you ways of saying thank you. More and more and more ways of saying thank you. Opportunities to say, look at what God has done for us. What can I do in return? Instead of focusing on money in the next few weeks, we're going to be focused on caring. As a part of our pilgrimage, we're caring for one another. And we're going to start a whole series on how do we care for ourselves, our neighbors, our larger community, our world. Because after all, isn't giving of your finances a form of caring? A very concrete, very helpful form of caring? I'm going to ask you to do several things. One is to go to those people who are still around that you would like to say thank you to. Find them today or this week and tell them thank you. Now, there are folks in my life who aren't still around to say thank you to. My great aunt, Minerva Cherry, who first told me stories. She died when I was nine, and so I didn't even think to say thank you. That's just the way we talked where I grew up. But this past couple of days, I've been in Jonesboro, Tennessee at the National Storytelling Festival. I went first in 1979, have many friends of long time, and I can see them and seek them out and say thank you for all that you taught me, for the support that you gave me. I can do that. And I did that. Let me encourage you to find those folks and say thank you. I remember several years ago, quite a number of years ago now, I was invited back to my high school for career day. I was supposed to come and tell these high school students about what it was like to be a local church pastor. And I didn't go back to the old school that I had attended. It was built by the WPA. It was a great big stone school with wooden floors, and they used this oil sawdust that we call floor sweep on the floors, you know. And so it smelled like a school ought to smell. Unfortunately, it's gone. There is, I was about to say, a new high school. It opened in 1969. There's a new high school, and I went to that one, and I was sitting up there with several of us who were speaking for career day, and immediately before me was a Montgomery Central graduate who was a prison guard. So he had all kinds of stories about people reaching through the bars and trying to grab him. He had stories about people making knives out of spoons and sharpening them. He had people about hiding contraband in their shoes. I mean, it was great. These were wonderful, great, exciting stories. And then there was me. And ministry must have sounded like the most boring job in the whole world. I did not feel really good about my presentation. I figure nobody would ever want to go into ministry. They'd all be rushing to be prison guards. But while I was there, I went by to thank several of my teachers. One is a teacher that I mentioned before, June Abernathy, my guidance counselor, who saw things in me I did not see in myself, nobody else saw in me, and whose encouragement has been formative in my life. I went to see Mrs. Hinton, who taught both English and Spanish in our high school. I went to see Mrs. Farrell. Now, Mrs. Farrell was my junior English teacher. She was very strict, and I was always left with the impression, anytime I turned in any work, that she thought I could have done better if I just worked a little harder. She thought I was lazy. Mrs. Farrell was also the one teacher who came to the funeral home when my mother died and when my father died. I went to speak to Mrs. Farrell, and I knew that she would probably have something to say about my presentation, and so I wanted to say it before she had a chance. I saw her and I said, you know, I wasn't really happy with how I did today. Without letting me go a word further, she said, oh, don't worry about it. More will wind up in prison than in ministry anyway. She made me feel a whole lot better. Go tell somebody thanks. Somebody who has meant a lot to your life. Just say thank you. A second thing I'll ask you to do is, when you get that letter from me, don't just stack it with all the other requests from your schools and every other organization in the world. Take it out and actually read it. I know how this works. I do the same thing. Take it out and read it. And pray about it. And ask yourself, how do I best say thank you? Not to me, but for what God has given all of us. And let your estimate of giving be guided by that thank you. Not by, even by what you gave last year, although we'll probably be suggesting that you increase that. Let it be guided by your gratitude. And finally, I want to ask you to find a way to live out your thanks in the world. You may already be doing that. You may have found that niche. More power to you. That's great. But find that way that you can express your gratitude for all that God has given you by passing those good gifts along. We are blessed for one reason and one reason only, to be a blessing to others. Been true since Abraham and Sarah, still true. Find the way, if you haven't already, to be that blessing to others that only you can be. And if you have, just know that you have our love and support in what you do. Because you know what? While we worry a lot about the nine, I suppose that's appropriate. You're the one. You are here. You are the one. Thanks be to God. We tell our story in lots of ways. And one is through affirmations of faith. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And let us tell our story together. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God, the best creator, Jesus creating, the best son of Jesus, the word made flesh, to reconcile.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which are through the doors to your right, my left, following the worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering place as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you will find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. And as a pad is passed back down to the center aisle, please take note of those who are sitting around you. If there's anyone you do not know, please make a special point to speak to them following the worship service today. If you're a college student, you're invited to join other students for lunch after the late service, or after this service. Meet in Reed Hall through the doors to my left to join the group. We do want to keep in prayer all those who have been affected by Hurricane Matthew and all those who are in recovery. I am very thankful and say thank you to the congregation for your generosity that allows us to support ministries like Odin Guatemala, another international ministry that we support is Promise for Haiti. Reports are that because of their location, they did not receive much damage, and the hospital is open, the schools are open, but because of damage in other areas, the roads are pretty much impassable, and they are in short supply of medications and supplies. So let's keep Promise for Haiti and, of course, all of Haiti in our prayers. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the wondrous ways in which you have healed and restored us. Make our faith as strong as the one who, when he saw that he had been healed, returned to Jesus, thanking him, praising God for the healing that had taken place. Give us the wisdom to know the source of healing is in our acknowledging your love and power and offering thanks. O Lord, we pray for the needs of the world, for those enslaved by political, military, or social oppression, for those suffering from violence and illness that we can prevent, for those at risk from famine, drought, and natural disasters, and we especially pray for those who've been affected by Hurricane Matthew. We pray for the renewing of creation, for more faithful stewardship among us toward Earth's resources. We pray for those who have lost jobs, homes, and hope. For those who are hungry today and will be again tomorrow. For those troubled in mind, body, or spirit. And for those recovering. We pray for the cares we hold this day. For patience and difficulty. For renewal of commitment. For grace to forgive ourselves or another. Heal us, we pray. May we return to you in joy and thanksgiving according to your grace. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who came to heal and to save, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Practicing gratitude can change our lives as individuals. It can change our life as a congregation. And the spirit of gratitude to God, as we offer to God these measured gifts, let us also offer a measured praise and thanksgiving.
Now go forth, grateful people, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, the giver of all good gifts, Jesus Christ, who showed us God's love and its fullness, and the Holy Spirit that allows us and empowers us to follow in Jesus' way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.